On the back table is a basket. I know a lot of us probably weren't prepared for it or anything, but Cody and Liz have been through an awful lot. There's been a lot of driving, a lot of time off, and you know what he's gone through. That basket in the back is empty right now. Let's, if you've got a couple extra bucks on you today, amen, just pass up that mocha latte, extra cappuccino, skinny, fat-free, $8 coffee, and put it in there, and let's just help our brother and sister go to their next appointment. So, amen, amen. We're going to be in Titus, but before we go to Titus, but you can start opening Titus if you want, if it doesn't fall open yet. I just want to be obedient to the Lord, and I see how he weaves things together. And he had me this week in an area that I think I need to share with us. And I don't want to take the time from the section of the word that we're in, but I do feel that this is necessary. And we're in a time like never before. I don't think I have to convince anybody of that or do anything more than just say we're in a time like none of us that are in this room right now have seen before or ever expected to see it to the extent that we do right now. But, you know, that is something that can really depress us. It can get us, you know, downtrodden. And all it's been saying to me this last few weeks is get ready. Get ready. I'm coming. Amen. Our God isn't going to let this go on any further than he already knows, and he's going to allow it. Satan has been guarded on how much he can do from the book of Job, when the Lord said, you can go this far and that's it. Well, if this isn't going any further, then he's aware. So we've got to rejoice in that. But what I was led to in 2 Chronicles 15, I know Brent looked up and he thought 2 Chronicles 20. You read 2 Chronicles 20, that's a powerhouse right there too. Because this fight is not ours, is what 2 Chronicles 20 says. The fight isn't ours. This is the Lord's. Stand and watch the salvation of your Lord. We can spit and yell and scream as loud as we want. We're not going to change a thing. The only thing that I can change is Doug Gibney. That's it. You have the power to change yourself because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, period, amen. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you today, before you leave, please see somebody and let's get praying. But in 2 Chronicles 15, it says, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. And know that, the Lord's with you, even though it might not look like it. Sometimes we just wonder, what's he doing? But he's always up to some work in our life for good. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, and this is where I wanted to go, but you can't leave that out of its context. Now for a long season, in verse 3, Israel had been without the true God. And America right now, in God we trust, in all the stuff that we used to sing, in the Pledge of Allegiance, in the Star-Spangled Banner, this country has been without a true God, the true God. We've made him, and I see even the Christianity that we stand in today, we are creating this God that is comfortable, that fits to my needs, that only speaks to me when I want it to be a good word or benefit my life. This country is without the true God. He's in here. Well, be careful now. Don't throw that pork chop yet. I told her last week, you over there, amen. I want two chairs. That'll be my amen corners. Throw in a couple of well. Come on. No. We're without that true God, but it says also, listen to this, and without a teaching priest and without the law. I'm watching preachers say stuff that has nothing to do with God, siding with things of the world and political bents coming out of churches. It shouldn't be. Let the government be the government is where I want to start walking, and let the church be the church, and it's time for us to start going. Plain and simple. So that was just to vent a little bit. But you know what? And I won't go there. In Judges, and it says it also in Chronicles, the problem that arose from that was everyone did what was right in the sight of their own eyes. That's what's happening. That's what's going on. I'm ashamed to say it happens in my life. I'm doing some of the things that I know I shouldn't do, and it's okay in my eyes. And I wonder if I'm really walking and living what I say I believe. You remember I did that Kris Kristofferson song 2-3 weeks ago. He said, you know, that's The Pilgrim. If anybody wants to hear a good song, it's called The Pilgrim 33 by Kris Kristofferson. I'm a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction. And that's, and I see myself in that every day. He was just a lonely pilgrim searching for his way home. And that's what most of us are. We're not done. This isn't it. This isn't going to get better to where I say, oh, finally we're here. Until we get to the throne, we're not done.
But you got to do verse 4.
Which one? 4 of that one. But when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Amen. Yeah, it's not, he hasn't gone anywhere. He hasn't left. He's right there. It's me who took a right turn sometimes, you know. All right, so we're still not going to Titus because I felt this is something that, again, I needed to tie in somehow to the fact that we all are in agreement that we are in a time like never before. You know, I started thinking it's, you know, defund the police, cancel culture. Let's get rid of the First and Second Amendment. Some of the things that you probably can add into that. What's happening here? This is a time that never happened in my 72 years. How about you guys?
Amen.
Never happened. There was a problem in Matthew 16, 1 through 4, that the Lord addressed, and I fear it's something that we could relive today. Matthew 16, 1 through 4, was the Lord coming to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what had happened was he was correcting them because they missed his first coming. And I started thinking, well, you know, they might have missed his first coming. We are in danger of missing his second coming. The church of the United States, the church that calls itself the true church, not religion, I fear is in jeopardy. We are at a point where we might miss his second coming because we're making a God, not the true God, but one that we can really serve every Sunday or maybe every third Sunday. Oh, wait, you know, I'm going on a hike today. God says, forsake not the assembling of the saints as a manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. So he told these Pharisees, if you turn there to Matthew 16, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And aren't we there today? We want signs, we want signs, we want signs. Then I'll believe. That was a problem then, it's a problem now. And those signs were what made them miss the Lord right in their midst. And I think there's too much that goes on around us that we're just missing him in the simplicity that Christ wants us to know him in. He answered and said unto them in verse 2, when it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowing. Oh, you hypocrites. You know, and that's, we still say this. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Any sailors here? You probably heard that, right? And we all do it. Oh, look at, people say, oh, Uncle Dougie, when they come to the ranch, what's it going to do today? And Pat and I look over to Baldy and we say, oh, it's going to rain in about a half an hour. Oh, you know, it's a beautiful sky tonight. It's going to be beautiful tomorrow. Jesus said, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. They're all around us. All around us. I've had a stop, and you know, Pat's not fully happy yet, but I had a stop watching the news to a degree. It's just, it's been working me up and working me up, and I've gotten into despair when I see what they're doing to the cops in this world. It, you know, it's just, I gotta stop. And I need to get here. Psalm 119, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. We need to be in this as much as we are out there in that world. And it has to come today. Not that we're going to change the world. Please don't take this as a You know, what did somebody, Brent, you prayed for comfort and conviction. I don't want to convict us. We're all works in progress. But I know each one of us, if we just put what we can humanly into this, the Holy Spirit can do an unbelievable work through the church, maybe just in our little home fronts and our families, then maybe in our own church, and it may be outside these doors to Nederland. 19 men, 19 deceived men in the name of their God changed our country on September 11th forever. Can we even begin to imagine what? I mean, that was 19 men deceived, going for their God, doing what they thought that they were being told to do, as wrong and as evil as they were. Can you imagine what? How many Christians in America? Does anybody have a Google pad? You know, just get that. How many Christians, sort of, you know, purported Christians are in the world today? What are we doing? What happened? So, I can breathe now. Titus. It's going to go into Titus somehow. I know that. Seth, you did a wonderful job last week. And I'm not just trying to pat you on the back, because Mark Twain said when you pat the human body on the back, the head swells. But that was a wonderful presentation of God's word to all of us. He spelled out the duties and the responsibilities, let's call it, of the older and younger men and women in this church in Crete that he was writing to. But everything that we have been reading in here belongs to us today, every bit as much as these Christians. Paul was trying to show Titus and the believers in Crete, this is how a church should run, not in Paul's mind, but from the Holy Spirit. And from, you know, the issue that the Holy Spirit got from God, this is how my church is to look when you meet together. This is what the leadership is to do. This is what the older men should do. This is what the older women should do. And he didn't leave out you younger. This is what the younger women should do. The younger men should do. So it's holistic, if we could use a term of today. It's not just for the leadership of the church. It's for every one of us that are called by his name. So what were those responsibilities? I started 2 weeks ago saying that the three areas that the Lord led me into, and I had about, Seth, 45 scriptures. I just sat there that night in the room, just scriptures were pouring out. I'll only give you one today, okay, for each one of those areas. You get those other 45, because God wants his church, God wants his children. As we manifest him, you know, here I'm walking through Nederland. I'm walking through the bank. I'm walking through, where do you work? I'm on the telephone helping vets. I'm doing jewelry. God wants us to look like him. Not the same, every one of us, you know. Otherwise, you know, we'd all do the same haircuts, the same clothes. God wants us to be his image out there in a world that's going to hell in a handbasket. So how do we do this? How do I have my life, other than just saying, oh, you know, it's surrender. Oh, it's just, listen to the word. No, there's much more to it. And each one of us will do it in our own gifted way. But God wants our character and our conduct. So those three areas, and I got 45, I'm only going to throw maybe one in, but if you're taking notes, character and conduct. Character is who I am. That's who I am. And am I still the same Doug as I was 40 years ago? I pray not. My character should be different. My conduct should go along with my character. So my character is who, and I'll say we, who we are. That's our character. Who are we? People think they know us, but do they really? My character is who I am, who you are, and my conduct is how I show that to an unbelieving world. Or even to other believers, how I present myself. Belief and behavior was another area that I had mentioned that God wants in his church. I'm a duck hunter, if you're here. I always said that. You know, you get enough lead in the air, you're going to hit something. And I ramble a lot. But this is what God wants from his church all over the world. that our belief and our behavior would go together, not be separate. And our belief and behaviors, you know, who do I trust? Who is it that I trust? And how do I apply this in my life? And then lastly, a few weeks ago, it was words and deeds. My words and deeds have to match. My words are how I speak. How I speak when no one is listening. Ow, that's the one that hurts, right? How I speak in front of you all. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, bless God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, you know, we can do that in Christianese, but my word and deed as God wants his church, his children to look, this is something that's completely different. My word is how I speak at times when only God and me are listening. I have a way of changing that, believe it or not. I can change that. I can't change anything about what's going on out in the world, really. One vote maybe can, I don't know, but I really can't. And if we really know what we're looking at today, this problem is not a physical problem that's happening to this changed world that we live in. This is a spiritual problem. This has nothing to do with a party. It has nothing to do with, you know, what kind of rat you are, you know, Democrat or a Republican or a liberal. It doesn't matter. This is spiritual. And it's time that we look at it that way. Instead of blaming somebody, you know, up on some other stage, God's saying, okay, well, if we see this, let's start acting. Let's make sure our conduct and our character is something that a person can look at. Let's make sure our belief that you say you believe in me and your behavior, it's the same. My words and deeds are the same. Back in the 70s, late 70s, when we got saved, all the hippies used to walk around and say, oh, man, don't give me your toot, show me your fruit. Remember that? What are you talking about? Well, that's you walk and talk. It should be the same. So here's some of those scriptures for our conduct and our character. Look at Daniel 1:8 is what we're going to look at. Remember character and conduct? I can change this. I can't change. That's my train of thought that I have to keep. I can't change the world. I can't change what's going on. But God's word created the world. God's word can change the world. I believe that. I believe that. But while I'm waiting for him to do that work, I need to make sure that I'm there in my character and my conduct. And God led me, I feel, to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but Daniel. And you can put your own name in there. Because if we look at this just as history, it just doesn't matter. Put your name in there. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. That's the first step for my conduct and my character. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed in his heart that he wasn't going any longer to do something that would change him. That's what builds character. Daniel made a choice. And I wonder, do I and do we as Christians, do we understand how much one choice matters in our life when it comes to our character and our conduct? One good choice, the best choice in my life was saying yes to Jesus Christ. And that's the only reason that I'm here today, no other reason. That was one choice that took the Gibney family on a whole nother journey, a whole nother destination. And it did you guys, every one of you, one choice. But you know, as we were saying that there isn't a teaching priest in Israel at that time. People are doing what's right in their own eyes. Well, gee, everybody's doing it. One choice, one wrong choice can change your character, your conduct, and your destination along this thing called life. One choice. Just one. And think, we were sharing that with our grandchildren, our great-grandkids. One choice. My grandson, and some of you heard this, he asked me, why did you have to stop your hippie van in Boulder, Colorado? I could have been in California right now, someplace warm. It was snowing. And we tried to explain that one choice, without that choice, our daughter Dee wouldn't have married Chuck. Chuck and Dee wouldn't have had Caleb and Elise. Jason wouldn't have married Jen. And we wouldn't have Ashley. I mean, it goes on. One choice. One little choice of stopping a stupid little hippie van saying, this is Rocky Mountain High. You know, here's where we need to be. One choice in every one of our lives starting today, now that we've heard that, can change our character greatly. And it can definitely affect my conduct, my belief, and my behavior. Turn to Proverbs, if you would, chapter 3. Oh, this one, we write this on graduation cards. We give it to, you know, the kid. How many have you written out, Ma? And this, probably 50 to 100 times, Ma put this on a card to our graduates, to our kids. And unfortunately, somehow, it has kind of been put off to the side a little bit. Belief and behavior. Who do I trust? Who do I trust? Do I trust the IRA? Do I trust, you know, my family? Put whatever it is. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking to one individual. What do you trust in? Belief and behavior. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, then, act like it. My behavior is how I manifest that. If that's what I say I believe, those 19 men that I told you, they believed Allah Akbar. They believed that. To their death, they believed that. Do I believe it enough? Not to die, but do I believe it enough to live? To live a life that, like these two ladies did this week in our town, they were out there at the coffee shop telling everybody how they needed Jesus Christ in their life. And come to church, come on to church. Do you guys really believe this?
Amen.
You do? Wow, amazing, amazing. I say that facetiously, you know, but
yes.
Belief and behavior. So in chapter 3 of Proverbs, my son, forget not my law, but in thy let thy heart keep my commandments, for length of days and for long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. This is the one. This is where the hog eats the cabbage. It's coming up. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord. Belief and behavior is what I'm trying to at least show or speak what God was telling me. Trust in the Lord, not at the times of good and plenty, not at the times of milk and honey, not at the times when it's going right, but he says, or the Holy Spirit says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, every bit of it, even when we question it, even when we say, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can take this anymore. I don't think I can go another step. He's saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In some of your ways. Or just when you're at church. This is just when you're around with other Christians. No, he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Why are you so happy? Because I got the Lord in my life. Whatever your response would be. How can you make it through this tragedy that you just... How can you make it through your health problem? How can you make it? Because of Jesus Christ. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your paths. Amen. Amen. Last one, word and deed. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Our word, the way we speak, what we do need to go together, and especially in the time that we're in right now. People are looking for something that's real. People are looking for something that they can hold on to that would bring some hope, some comfort, some peace, and that's only going to be found in Jesus. And when they see us being two different people, one around Christians and one around the guys riding Harleys like I used to be, that's not right. If you're in Colossians 3, it says, and above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love for Jesus Christ first, love for each other next. And above all things, put on that love. 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. This world is trying to shake our foundation greatly right now. And it's not just, oh, don't worry about that. That's not, you know, defund the police. Oh, who cares? You know, well, I'll tell you what, call a social worker next time you need somebody to stop the shooting. Excuse me. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let it. That means we have to allow it. Don't get moved. Don't get shaken like, oh my gosh, where's this going? God's got this. to the which you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word, and here's the way we're going to do it, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. 17, and whatsoever. So does that mean like when I'm at my house with my family, when I'm there all by myself, and with my wife, with you, and whatsoever? That word encompasses an unbelievable amount of things in our lives, our responsibilities. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So those were those things that Paul is trying to ingrain, I feel, in Titus for the church at Crete and how it was to be set up and how we were to look and act. And like I said, this is every bit as relevant today as it was back then. We just don't look back to them. These are the ones that paved the way for us today. Do we realize that? The fathers and the founders of our faith. People aren't reading this. Amen. They're not. Some of us as Christians aren't even reading this. But they're reading you. They're reading me. Every time they see us, they might know us or think they know us, but they don't know who we really are. So we've got to get this, we've got to get it moving as much as humanly possible in each one of our own lives to be this obedient child of God in the way I can at this point. This is not sinless perfection. Please don't think that. This is not a condemnation that got to do more. Just do what we're each capable of with the giftings that we've been given. So to be obedient, number one, and to be a walking epistle. I'm just walking signboard. A walking signboard, that's all. Not, the, oh, you know, oh no, here comes Rick the Christian. That's what, not here comes Rick the fire chief. Well, you know, I don't have a fire, so I don't need you today. But Rick the Christian, I need you today because you're the only way that I'm not going to spend eternity separated. I'm Tom, whatever you are. Just put our names in there. Character and conduct, belief and behavior. Words and deeds got to go together. Be obedient. Be walking epistles. We hear this, and I'll try to bring this to a close. We get a little... It's almost like watching Fox News. Too much of that, it's not good for a guy like me. I just realized that. And when we hear things like this, the hard sayings of Jesus Christ, sometimes we get a little depressed. Oh, my, yeah, I'm not living up to the standard. Oh, I should be doing better. Turn to Romans 8, if you would. Remember, I feel God is telling us to live up to what we already know. Live up to what he's imparted to us. Live within the giftings that he's given us, not trying to do somebody else's job, not trying to work in someone else's gift. Just and when I don't hit the mark, please don't give up. It's not done yet. God's word in Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no. What an important word. Put that under. Lined, if you would, if you feel free in your Bible. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Are you in Christ? Have you received him as Lord and Savior? If so, the only one that's beaten you is old bug face and your own self. That's it. It's me. I'm my worst enemy. I hit myself harder than sometimes I've ever been hit in my life. And then it's like, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I'm doing it because God said, I'm going to finish that work that I started in you. I'm coming back for you. I'm going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I'm doing it for. Not for a stimulus check. Not for, you know, where's Craig? Can I get unemployment? Because I could probably make more money than I am here, you know? That's not what we're working for. So stop condemning ourselves. If we're trying, if you even have the thought, is what God was showing me again this week. Doug, if you even feel like you've let me down, you have. But, you know, If you feel like you missed the mark, don't worry about it. I got this. Let's get working. That shows that the Holy Spirit is working in my life. If the Holy Spirit wasn't working in my life, I'd just say, the heck with it. Let's go. Let's just go. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to be worm bait. God is saying, if you even think that you're trying to please me more, the Holy Spirit's working in us. I'm not condemning you. Who's bringing that condemnation? Is the enemy of our soul, the prince, the power of the air, the prince of lies, the father of lies. Wow. Philippians 2. We've all been getting blessed by Paul and his teaching to Titus. And God reminded me when I was feeling real bad this week about how short I fell at a few times and what I should have done and what I didn't want to be doing. In Philippians 2, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will," so even that desire to please him, that we feel like we're falling short and we're not good enough, it's him that's working in us. Amen. To do his good pleasure. Amen. And Paul himself fought that thing. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do them." You see the quandary that he was in? He was in the same thing as he's even telling Titus, make sure the younger women do this. Make sure the older men do this. Make sure the elders are all lined up and walking like a bunch of ducks going to the pond. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to save me from this body of death?" And then he says, but, you know, praise God, it's Jesus Christ. So that's our strength. That's going to be our hope. So I'll end with, go back to Titus where we were supposed to be originally. Titus 9 and 10 is where Seth left off. Exhort servants, it says, and that word is bond slaves. It is slaves. And the Bible, by no means, don't ever stand and listen to somebody say the Bible promoted slavery. No, it did not. The Bible mentioned things that were unacceptable, slavery, polygamy. Lots of things are in there, but God didn't approve of them. So what he's saying here is that exhort the bond servants, the bond slaves, and that's us. Remember the bond servant God? He was a servant. He was a slave that didn't want to leave the master's house. He put his ear on the doorpost. The master put an awl through there on his ear, and he willingly wanted to serve that man. That's who we are. We weren't brought like I was to church by my ear or dropped off. We said, "Lord, I'm yours." So exhort, and that's what I hope I do today when I end this, exhort to be obedient unto your own masters, and that's Jesus Christ, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Verse 10, not purloining in the King James. That's stealing. That's just pilfering, which was common among at this time. But not stealing. So if we're working, let's say, let's put this in today's application. If I'm working a job, don't be stealing time, is what God is telling us. Give that man, that woman, whoever your boss is, give them the best that you've got. Look exactly like everything that we just read in chapter 1 and 2 up to this point. Look like that because, and listen to what 10 says, not purloining or not stealing, and we do that when we don't clock in right. What was that thing we saw in the news? They gave all these statistics. 12 people said that they were in the bathroom when they were clocked in. 24% of the people didn't do that. Yeah, working remote. That's what God is saying, is just give everybody your best, because you know what? They're looking at you to see me, is what God is saying. That's the only way that they're going to see me, is when they see you. So they see Doug. Well, Doug came in an hour late, but you know somebody else clocked in for him. Oh, Doug took a little bit more time on lunch. Oh, Doug does this and kids around at the water. He's saying, bond servants, Christians, do your very best. Do your very best. But showing, not stealing anywhere it might be, but showing all good fidelity, faithfulness, That's love. That they may adorn the doctrine of God. We get our English word from the Greek that's adorned, cosmetics. That's where we get that. So maybe some of, I know I do, maybe I need a little more makeup to cover up some of the blemishes that, you know, for a while. But he's saying that you adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. So when they see you, they see him. And that's all God is asking from us, is to do something that simple. Can I have one more?
Go for it.
Yeah?
Not here.
2 Corinthians. In chapter 5. That was a lot today. A lot to swallow. I want it to be an encouragement. I don't want it to be a bellwether where we say, oh, I can't attain that. Oh, I don't think I can do that. Oh, I don't think I'll ever make that. The Spirit of God, in his word that can change us, says, therefore, in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man or woman, if any of us are in Christ, if we're his, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All, not just some. So that means that Doug Gibney is dead. He's gone. And I got to start reckoning that again. You know, what kind of salvation would we have if all God did was cancel the penalty, you know, of sin in himself on that cross? But then left sin to have its dominion over me every single day. It's not there. It's a full salvation that he's done. It's complete. Remember, it is finished, is what he said. It's done. So not only is the penalty for my sin done away with it, the hold, the stranglehold that sin has in my life and in your life is also done away with on that cross. We have to start to reckon that. We have to know we're new creatures. That guy's dead. That's not me anymore. All things, in verse 18, are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what they would, we're to be reconciled to God. But then it says, you know, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We need to bring the Christians back into the fold that we've even kicked out because they didn't line up the way we think they should, or they didn't speak the way we think they should. God has given each one of us a ministry in bringing reconciliation, restoration, reputation, if we could. He's given that to us. Now then, we are ambassadors, and ambassadors, unlike today, are usually the very best choice for the job. We don't have that anymore. It's people who are just going after the money end of it or the fame end of it. We're not doing that. Not as Christians. There shouldn't be a bunch of fame. There shouldn't be a bunch of money involved in it. We're doing this for the one who gave everything. Amen. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled, please. Be reconciled with God today. That's all I got to say. You know what's out of whack. He knows. Just get it right with him. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. And this is what I was saying. It would be a half salvation. He was made sin to do away with the penalty of sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I've overcome. He's overcome the destruction in my life because of that. Boy, if that's not enough to keep me going, I don't know what is. We then, as workers, chapter 6, I'm just going to go on. You should have said, read chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard you in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, and we are in it now. Not tomorrow, not next week. You got family members, I got family. It's not tomorrow. We got kids that this world is eating their lunch. But yet we're afraid at times to impart some do's and don'ts on them. We have to right now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know, and I've said this too many times. Teddy is gone. Dee is gone. Dave is gone. You know, we can go down the list here. You know, Mom and Dad are gone, right, Kathy? I mean, keep on going. Today, not next month, next week, now is the accepted time. And especially with our family and our kids. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And that's who you are. Who do you think you are? I'm a minister of God. I'm a child of God. I'm on a mission from God, and that's not you, to come into your life and say, God loves you, man, in spite of yourself. You know, that's, we're ministers. That's what, and we're ambassadors. But in all things, we're proving ourselves as ministers of God. And listen to this, because some of us are saying, you know, I've got bad health. I've got this. And, you know, Ted's fighting cancer. Our daughter died. You know, man, I want to throw this to the wind and say the heck with it all, but I can't. I'm starting to understand when Paul said, God is constraining me. As much as I want to walk, I can't walk because God's saying, no, no, no. I'm not done yet. You know, I wish he was my buddy for 40 years. You know, Bill, I mean, because of these heartaches, because of our children, because of my, you know, my mom or dad or whatever, I can't do this. And what God is telling us right here, but in all things, verse 4, approving ourselves as ministers of God in much, listen to this list, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Oh, well, see, we ripped that page out because that's out of the Christian Bible now. There ain't no more fasting.
Sleepless nights.
We don't do any more fastings. You know, that's ridiculous. Fast from the TV. That's a fast. Get into God's word. Doesn't always have to be food. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. And we today, Ephesians 6, we are not fighting a fleshly battle. It says that this battle is we fight not against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, it says, that you might be able to stand in that evil day. And after you've done all, stand again. So it's not like I stood for one day, I give up, I'm done, I'm out of here. I don't like that church. I don't like the preacher. I don't like the worship. I don't like, you know, this or that. Stand is what God is saying. And the only way we're going to do it is by putting on this armor that he is telling us about. By honor and dishonor, verse 8, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known. You know, and a lot of people, they don't know you, but they think they know you. They think they know everything that makes you tick. They think everything that you're doing, well, I know why. They don't know us. You know why they don't know us? Because we haven't told them who we are. I'm still having trouble trying to find out who I am. But why can't I just tell people? I'm a child of God. Who are you? Somebody's going to ask you that. What do you do? And they're thinking for a living. Well, I live and breathe and exist to glorify God. What would that do to a conversation on your first answer to somebody? As unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful. Is this a list? Did anybody feel like, you know, Paul is saying this? And I think he's saying it from personal experience. Like, somebody's saying, like, Paul, I don't think I can do this because, you know, I don't have a donkey at this time. You know? And he goes, excuse me? And then he gives him a list of what he's just been through. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, making many rich. And that's one that I wanted to end with right there, because we think we always need something else, or I'm broke, or gee, I don't have this or that. But, you know, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit and Peter, made the statement that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It doesn't say, I will give you. He says he has, or in the King James, hath, means I got it. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. And through that, he's saying, yet making many rich. When we just speak the word of God to somebody and say he loves you, tell them the road to heaven, we just made that person rich beyond anything that this world has to offer. Having nothing and yet possessing all things. Eternal life. That's what we're heading for. That's what a church is about, right, Seth? That's what Seth was trying to put out. He saw a lot of things missing, I heard, in there. And he wasn't talking about Calvary Chapel, because I think it's blatantly running rampant in here. He was talking about the church at large. Are we making people rich? Do we realize that we have eternal life, that not all this is going to pass? There won't even be memories of this. Praise God for that. But yet we're rich. We have it all already, and we can pass that on and make someone else so much richer. The only way that we're going to get some of this stuff that's preventing this out of us is to get the Word of God in us. So we're saturated. So there's no room for the next report that comes that this is it, doom and gloom. We'll just laugh and say, no, that ain't the end of the story. We'll heal old Paul Harvey. And now for the rest of the story, trust it, stand on it, and apply it, and watch what God can do in our lives. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love towards us. It never ends. Thank you for how you're constantly at work in every one of our lives, drawing us and wooing us, gently calling us, Father. So help us to just walk with you this week in a way that maybe we haven't in a while. Let us feel your presence. Let us see those things, Father, that we so desire to see in our lives. So we love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's stand and worship the Lord, yeah?